Peter 2:13-20. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether to a king as in one authority, or to governors as sent by him for punishment of evildoers, and to the praise for those who do right. For such is the will of God, that you are doing right, you may silence ignorance or foolish men. Act as a free man, and do not use your freedom as covering for evil, but use it as bondslaves of God. Honor all people, love and brotherhood, fear God, and honor your king. Sorry, I drank way too much coffee. I'm like, oh, seriously, I did. I drank way too much coffee. And then 1 Peter 4, 1-3. Therefore, since Christ has suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves also for the same purpose. Because he who suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for your lusts of men, but for the will of God. For the day is already past and insufficient for you to have carried out the desires of the Gentiles. With that, we're going to have our pastor come forward.
Thank you, Tracy. Morning, Grace. Good to see you all. Well, we're in 1 Peter. We're talking about what it means to really be a Christian, some of the responsibilities that we have, and what God does in us. The thing that we found out, though, is that Christianity, church, is not like a club. It's not like joining something. You don't join Christianity or Christ. You don't do that. One day you can't wake up and decide, well, I'm going to be a Christian. You can't do that. No man comes to the Father, Jesus said, except through me. And in Acts it says, no one comes to the Father except the Spirit draws. He is not of his, unless the Spirit. Now, why is that significant? Because the Spirit does something incredible in your life. When we began this, we talked about the resurrection of Jesus Christ, the power that was given to him, and that same power dwells in you, in me, that same power. And so, when he comes inside, he does something that is miraculous. He begins to change us. Now listen to me. You could be here this morning and think you're a Christian and not be a Christian. Because you had this idea that if you said a prayer, that everything would be okay. I'm telling you, that is a false doctrine. You have to believe in Jesus Christ. And the word belief has to do with something of trust and immersing yourself, and that can't happen unless you're born again. That cannot take place unless the Spirit of God has done something inside of you, changed you. Now, that doesn't mean that you're going to be perfect, and it doesn't mean that you don't struggle, but it means that there is something inside of you that is different now. Desire. You desire God. You desire to please Him. You desire to do what's right. That doesn't mean that you always do right, but when you mess up, you come back and say, God, forgive me. I want to do what's right, but this monkey is on my back. Help me. Help me, Lord, overcome this thing. You see, that is the Christian thing. That is the reality of following Jesus. That is the reality of the born-again experience, something that happens inside that doesn't just help you dress differently, help you be a little different, but actually revolutionizes your life, actually changes you inside to where now, oh God, I want to serve you. And that can increase or decrease in you, that desire. And that has to do about humility. That has to do about, because God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Today, we're going to talk about the Christian freedom. We talked about holiness. We talked about belonging to God. We talked about being part of the body of Christ, that we're fitted together, that Christ has fitted us together, and that we're believers and we're brothers and sisters in the Lord. Now we're going to talk about freedom. What is this freedom? What is this thing that he says there? Verse 16. Act as free men or women. Live as a free man. Free woman. Act as if you're free because you are free in Christ Jesus. Now, if you're a Christian, that's true. Or you've been born again, that's true. If you've had the work of the Spirit in you, and things have changed inside of you, and you have that desire for Him, that's true. But are you free? Are you acting like you're free? And what's freedom? In your notes there, I just looked at dictionary and to give what we think the meaning of freedom is. It defines freedom as a state of being free. Okay? Independent. Without restriction. He says, did you get what he said there, Peter said? Live as free or act as free by being a slave of God. Does that make any kind of sense to you? To some of you, it does. I saw one nod. Yeah, one scholar. Oh, yeah. But wait a minute. It sounds like a contradiction of terms. Free slave. Free slave. Free slave. So what does that mean? In the what was passed out to you, there's a thing by Martin Luther. And I love some of these old guys. And boy, is he old. In the middle of the second page, it says this. A Christian man is the most free Lord of all, and subject to none. A Christian man is the most dutiful servant of all, and subject to everyone. What? Anyway, although these statements appear contradictory, yet when they are found to agree together, they will do excellently for my purpose. They are both the statements of Paul himself, who says, though I be free from all men, yet have made myself a servant to all. That's 1 Corinthians. And then Romans 8:8. Owe no man anything but to love one another. Yeah, it does sound like a contradiction. Free, slave. Free, slave. Well, freedom means there's no restrictions. So I looked up, you know, you can get on there now, you look anything up, and I looked for some quotes of freedom. So here's a guy, a Greek scholar, and this is what he said, Euripides. No one is truly free. They are enslaved to wealth, fortune, the law, or other people restraining them from acting according to their will. Now, I should have wrote that down for you so you could take it home and think about it. But here's a ungodly guy that's got it right. He's not a Christian, but he's got it right. He's spot on. Because you see, we're going to be a slave to something. Well, then how are you free if you're a slave to something? Well, in our life, we're going to be a slave to something. There's going to be something out there that we're a slave to. You cannot help that, because freedom is, in our Western thought, is the absence of any kind of restriction. Is that possible? Is it possible to be absent from any kind of restrictions? Is there anyone who lives like that? Well, no one here, you wouldn't be here. Some of you felt obligated. Some of you made a promise. Some of you made a commitment. So obviously you're not free. I want you to think about this. You know, the young guy who rebels against his parents, and he says, I don't want to live here anymore by your rules. I'm out of here. And then he joins the Marines. You know, just... there's something haywire there. So what does Paul mean to, as free men, to be a slave of Christ? You see, the Bible makes it very clear, just like Euripides did, that you are going to be a slave to something. There's something that's going to dominate your life. There's something that's going to rule your life. Even as Christians, for instance, you might pray, God, I pray for, I don't want to get in trouble. I was going to go political. Let's go politically. It's 2000. When was the last presidential election? 10 or 12? 12, yeah. 2012. And you're a devout Christian, and you know what's right and wrong, and you know that a Republican should be a president. And so you pray. Oh, Lord, whatever that guy's name is. Oh, Mitt Romney. Lord, I just pray that you'd get Mitt Romney in there. Lord, I just pray that we'd come back to you, Lord, get a Republican in there. That makes me laugh. Anyway, so you pray that, and then what happens? The other guy wins. And you're depressed. And you're really depressed because Harry Reid won too. And you're just so out of it. In fact, you begin to question, what's the use of praying? Why pray? You pray God's will and it doesn't happen. Now, what's the deal with just that little scenario? You have made your desire more important than God. I'm just telling you. And whatever it is, you've made your desire more important than your relationship with God and who He is, that He's God Almighty and He can do whatever He wants. Thank you. Thank you. Amen to that, right? He can. He's God. And we're serving a God. We're serving God Almighty who gave His only begotten Son. And you could take that little scenario right down the line on whatever you pray about, and then you get upset with God because He doesn't answer that prayer. You see, what are you restricted by? You're restricted by your desire, what you want, instead of what God wants. Because, see, you're going to be restricted by something. And Peter said, be restricted by God. Be a slave to God. Give your life to God. Surrender totally and completely to God. Now, why is that freedom? Oh, I'm glad you asked that question. There was this big trout. One of the biggest trouts you've ever seen. And he was swimming wrong one day thinking, you know, I've been in this river a long time, and I see these guys up on the land. And I just don't think it's right that I have to be here. It looks much more fun to be up on the land. You know where I'm going. Some of you. Others are on their phone. Let's see. What should we have for dinner? Any coupons today? So this trout begins to become, what's the term I'm looking for? Dissatisfied. He begins to want something different. He gets discouraged because he sees people walking around as he's looking up. There's a man that looks like fun. And he almost gets embittered until he decides, well, hang it all. I'm going, getting up there with those humans. And so as he's done many times, shooting up in the air, he swims to the shore and he flies up on the land. All right. Now, what did he find out? And so he's flopping around. He said, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. And he looks around and he says, this is no fun. So he starts flopping toward the land. He gets back in the river. And back in the river, it feels so good. He loves it. He swims around. And he's truly free. Now, what's the deal? That trout was not made for land. What were you made for? That trout found himself uncomfortable, depressed, discouraged, all kinds of problems, gonna die. Because he wanted something in which he was not created for. What were you created for? What is your purpose in life? Anything outside of being a slave to God will create problems in your life. It just will. Anything outside of surrendering to God, any energy you have, any money you have, any gifts you have, anything you have, totally and completely surrendering to God and saying, God, I want to serve you. Outside of doing that, you're going to have restrictions that will choke you, that will mess you up. And you know what I see as I stand back as a pastor, and I see people in the world, or people even in the church, as they go out in the world, and how they live, and what they do, and their lack of heart toward God. They're flopping around. They can't breathe. They're angry at things. Nothing satisfies, and they don't even realize. Now, that's nothing to get mad at them about. That's something about getting a net and trying some way to save them, some way to bring them back to a place where they can be set free for Christ and His purpose. Freedom is finding the restrictions that bring joy to you. One of the relationship that God created that is a high level of restriction is marriage. Any man's out there? Yeah. You sure you want to get married? Are you sure? It creates restrictions in your life. But let me tell you something. Let me tell you something about those restrictions. If you and your partner, your spouse, your husband, your wife, if they have the same heart toward God as you do, all it does is create incredible freedom, incredible joy, such appreciation, because love does that. when we are set free from our past, seek God and become a slave to Him and His purposes, we begin to see His love toward us, and so we love Him back. And it sets us free. And there's such joy and satisfaction and fulfillment. Same way in a marriage. Isn't that the way it works in a marriage? Well, I don't know. I haven't felt any freedom. I don't have a whole lot of love. Huh. Well, maybe because you have sought something outside of God, who you're to be a slave. Just maybe things aren't right in your life. Just maybe you've given in to your desires instead of God's desires. Many years ago, when my wife almost died and was thought dead, how long has that been, dear? She doesn't know. Get out of town. Seems like yesterday. 19 years ago, thought dead. And we struggled for many days wondering what would happen. And I remember telling my girls, I can't believe that I ever said no. Honey, would you go to the store for me? No, I'm doing God's work. Football game's on. No. I can't believe that I was like that. But when I grew an appreciation for her, I don't want to say no to her. I think out of my mouth, there's only been one time in 19 years that I've said no to her. And the only reason I've been able to talk her out of things without saying no. So that appreciation for her. My love is greater than ever before. My commitment toward her is greater than ever before. Okay, how about with Jesus? Are you growing in that? Are you growing in that love for Him? Well, let me tell you, you can't grow in that love for Him until you see His love. Until a light comes on and you go deeper into His love and see the light, what He has done for you. Let me tell you, once you begin to see that, you grow in such appreciation that you will never, ever want to say no to Him. Ever. You'll always want to do what He says to you. Freedom, the kind of freedom that the Bible talks about, is the kind of freedom that you give up, you become restricted in the things that will ruin your life, and in that, you become so joyful in Him. He says, for instance, he starts the 13th verse. He says, submit yourself to every human institution, whether to a king as the one in authority or to governors sent by him for punishment of evildoers and praise of those who do right. Is that what it says? No, I knew you weren't looking at your notes. I knew you weren't reading that with me. I knew it. Because that's not what it said. I mean, I read it all, but I left out one of the most important things in our life. Let me read it again. I'm going to insert what it says there. Submit yourself for the Lord's sake. For the Lord's sake. You see, we have a hard time submitting because we don't realize how important God is and what He's done in our life. And we just want to live our own way. What is this, these restrictions that we're to follow? I think most of you here know those things. I mean, you could look at the Ten Commandments. Now, those are good restrictions. But what was the first one of the Ten Commandments? Have no other God before Him. Worship no other God. No other, you know, we live in a culture that's not the case. And in the church culture, it's not the case. Because we serve so many other things. Basically, this is what we're serving. Because the antithesis of love is selfish. Let me read a scripture in the fourth chapter that you have in your notes there. The second verse. So it's to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. The lust of men. Now this is what we think of lust. He goes on a little later, and he talks about other kind of lust. So that's not what he's talking about here. He talks about some of those sinful lusts a little bit later. That's not what he's talking about here. The lust of men, what is that? This word means over-desire. Don't live for things that you overly desire, and what it means, over-desire except God. You're not living for God. You're living for these things that control you, these things that have an impact on you, that you want these things, and you're not giving yourself to the will of God, to the purpose of God. And that's what he said. The lust of men, the over-desire of men, but for the will of God. The over-desire. Now, what is the over-desire? Anything that you put before God that begins to control your life. Anything. And it means that you're not making him your slave. It means you're not following him. It means you're not doing his will. It means anything that you put above what God wants, about who God is, being a slave to God, is over desire. I mentioned about the prayer. If you were to pray whatever you were to pray and you didn't get it, so you questioned God. Well, your faith is not in God. Your faith is in what you want. That's a selfish thing. No, that's what I want. I don't want Obama. I want whoever the other guy was, a loser. You see, it becomes what you want. Well, wait a minute. He's God. And if you pray, then you can have peace. And that God's will is being done. And you seek Him and you do His will. Okay. I left last week on a with the term. Remember what it was? Mike, money. Remember? I just said money. Making him the cornerstone of your life. And that everything is lined up to Christ. Same thinking here that Peter brings us to. Now, this is where everyone gets nervous, and we ought to get nervous, because I'm going to tell you something. If you can't use your money for God's purposes, you're over-desire on money. You have the lust of men. You have the over-desire. Your over-desire. If you can't, on the first month, write a check to the church on your tithe, I know that just sounds so horrible coming from a pastor. I know that. But now listen. God talked about money more than anything else. Jesus did. More than anything else. He talked more about money than he did the works of the flesh. He talked about using it for the kingdom. That you place your treasure, he says, where you place your treasure, your heart is going to follow. And if your money, in a portion of it, doesn't go to the storehouse, then something's haywire. I'm just telling you, that is not Christianity. That's not faith in Jesus. That's not following Him. That is over-desire. That is having a restriction that will make you miserable from time to time. Because what will happen is, this is how I believe anyway, Malachi talks about this, that money, like a tithe, he talks about the tithe, That money's not yours. And you will never get to spend it. I believe that. You will never, ever get to spend that tithe. Well, what are you talking about? Well, you just watch in your life. You just watch how money goes down a hole real quick. You just watch on things that happen. I know that sounds maybe kind of corny or kind of Old Testament, you know. Maybe that sounds... Anything that becomes an over-desire is not the will of God. You have a freedom in Christ if you are a slave to Him. That's the only way. Otherwise, you're a fish out of water. I'm just telling you. Your trust level in God and who He is begins to plummet. You begin to trust in the dollar. So that if you lose a job or you get a pay cut or they raise the taxes, you're all uptight, all frustrated, irritated at whoever. You get frustrated even with the oil companies. But we like them right now because gas has come down. Why is this? It's because of the over-desire on money. It literally is your God. Test me on this. You restrict yourself. So how do I get this point? You restrict yourself. How do I become unselfish? You restrict yourself. Since I'm on the thing on money, you restrict yourself on money. The opposite or the antithesis of love, I said, is selfishness. And we in Americans are so selfish. And so you restrict yourself on those selfish things. Now, when I've tried to do this, we pay tithe because I submit to my wife. She's a better giver than I am. And so we've just always done it. I don't even think about it. But there's other things in my life. Since I came to this place of selfishness, love and selfishness and serving others, selfishness and the will of God and seeking God's purpose, being a slave to God. Since many years ago I came to this place, man, I realized how lazy I am and selfish. And by God's grace and His mercy and me confessing some of these things to Him, I could tell you stories that some of you would shake your head. Boy, you are selfish. I'm not going to do it because I want you to think better of me. I want you to think. I want you to ask God. I want you to say, God, show me my selfish way. So that I can truly love you. Show me my weaknesses so I can truly surrender to you and be a fish in water, not a fish out of water. I'm just telling you, if you're a Christian, whatever over-desire you have is going to be challenged. Because He said, I don't want you to have any other God before me. Is this too serious? Is this too negative? I appreciate a couple of you saying that. I love you. Recently, Mike and Therese kind of take care of the tithing and stuff. I don't look. I do from time to time. I want to know who the big tithers are. No, I'm kidding. But he told me
You know, there's a lot of people that go to church trip or something like that. You want to come up and share?
Well, no. And who don't pay tithes. And I thought when he told me, I thought, I'm a lousy guy. That I have not somehow helped people with you. And to trust in me. And to somehow break off in the selfish way. And it bothers me. I'm not bothered by you, I'm bothered by me. I need to do something, so I'm going to. I don't know what it is. But in your freedom, be a slave. Everything in your life that you do should be for the Lord's sake. For the Lord, everything. He starts by submitting. You know, when he goes on there in the, I think it's the fifth chapter, and he says, you younger ones, submit to the older one. You see, that's restricting yourself. If you want to be free, you submit. If you want to be free, now listen, if you want to be free, you make promises to God. If you want to be free, you make promises to the church. Because you see, those promises cut across the grain of selfishness. And you become a fish in the water instead of out of the water. If you want to be free, you follow Jesus. And you do things for the sake of Jesus. You do things for the kingdom's sake, not your sake. Anything that we do around here, we're gonna have a potluck next week. Okay, or in 2 weeks on a Sunday night. I want you all to come. Let's just have a good time together. We'll have some testimonies. We're just going to have a nice time of community. Tim, community. It's all about community. Where's Daryl? Daryl, all about community. We've been joking about that. Actually, they've been giving me a hard time because everything is about community. And so we're going to have some community. Now, what do selfish people say? No, I don't like that. That's fine. That's fine. Go get a pizza before you come or something. You know, you don't have to eat the food because it's not about the food, is it, Tim? What is it about, Tim? Community. Community. And so I just don't know. I just don't like Sunday night, going on a Sunday night. I just want to. No. Cut across the grain of your selfishness. Well, you don't understand. Sunday night is a special night, especially the season the football game's on. And that particular football game, it's going to be the Vikings. Well, I don't know if that's true. Tim's a Viking fan. But I don't know if that's true. I'm just throwing it out there. No. Cut across the selfishness. Don't allow those things to be an over-desire in your life. But do the will of God. Be a slave to God. Give up your selfish ways. And love Him. He has loved you. Now, the last part. He has loved you. It says that He suffered for you. He suffered. He became, listen, talk about a fish in the water. He was God Almighty. And He became as a human being. Talk about a fish out of water. And He suffered. He suffered for you, so that you, a fish out of water, could be free in a beautiful, beautiful lake for eternity. How about that for now? He suffered and was restricted so that you could have an eternity of total bliss with Him. How could you do any less than surrender to Him and be restricted in things in your life and follow Him? How could you do anything? Well, now that I've depressed you all, worship team, come on up. You know, I've been this last week for my own devotions every day. I've been reading the fourth chapter of Ephesians and meditating on it. I'll probably do a series on that at some point. I've just been totally immersed in it. And in fact, I've studied that more than I did in the preparation of the sermon. Well, maybe you can tell that. But in it, he talks about darkness and light. And he says, you are the light. And he talks about the fruit of the light. The fruit of the light is goodness, holiness, and righteousness, I think. Something like that. We're to be light in Him. Not this darkness that comes over us. And the reason why the darkness comes over us is because we're selfish. You surrender to Christ. You make promises to Him. You tell Him, I'm going to follow you. You tell Him, I'm going to make a commitment to that church at Grace. I'm going to do your will. That is for the sake. Right. Let's stand and sing this song. That go, love you forever. You are my everything. We sing those songs all the time. You listen to what you're singing. Sometimes I get convicted on some of the stuff I'm saying. Know you forever. Love you forever. You are my everything. Know you forever. Love you forever. You are my everything. Say that with me. Know you forever. Love you forever. You are my everything. I wonder if we could make that a prayer as we sing it again. Would you do that? Would you take your heart to God? Say, God, I really want this in my life. And you know, God, how short I come up to this, but this is what I want. This is what I want. Let's sing it again. Oh, Father. Father, release us. By your Spirit, release us from ourselves. By your Spirit, Lord, bring us to that place of surrender, willing to make promises to you, restricting ourselves to what we desire to do your will, making promises to brothers and sisters in the Lord, restricting ourselves, bringing honor to you, submitting one to another, that we might be set free. Honor you in our life. We thank you, Lord. Your blessing as we go today. May this word settle in us. A seed planted that would bear fruit. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You're dismissed. Love one another as you go today.